From WCAI in Woods Hole and WGBH Radio Boston, this is Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Last week, we spoke to a professor at the University of Edinburgh who almost didn't survive graduate school because he was in such a deep depression.
So what saved me was people, the people around me who didn't know I was depressed because I had this mask of it all being all right. Just their natural warmth, their innate warmth.
David Ray says that making that warmth a formal part of science could be a challenge.
Just having that supportive environment, that community, that collegiate feeling, which is, yeah, maybe tricky to systematize, but it's absolutely vital for our well-being and actually for the success of our institutions more widely.
Well, now, the journal Nature has released a survey of some 3,200 scientists, and the results show that many do feel science is a friendly and collaborative environment. But it's a competitive field, and a minority say their labs are tense or even toxic. The good news is that survey also points to several things that schools could be doing to systematically improve the academic workplace and the science that comes out of it. Joining me now is Nature's senior editor, Manya Baker. Manya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What prompted this survey?
Well, I think there had been a lot of talk about what journals could do to improve the quality of research that was reported and what funders could do. And then that started a lot of discussion about what institutions can do. I mean, most people think that, you know, researchers and lab heads are the ones actually that are doing the science and have the most influence over its quality. And so our editor-in-chief, Phil Campbell, just started going out to, I think he went to 16 different universities and talked to faculty and trainees about what it was like to do science and about the increased pressures that they are feeling in modern science.
Is there a widespread concern about the quality of science and the quality of science that's being published?
Most scientists think that most science that is published is reliable, but there are concerns that it should be better than it is. So there's been a lot of talk about improving reproducibility. And at the same time, there's been a lot of talk about what institutions can do to improve the working environment. I think that's only been highlighted recently with the sexual harassment allegations that we've seen in labs across the world. And we've heard really heartbreaking tales of people who have been targets for harassment, and also what's happened with graduate students and trainees in labs where people have resigned. So there's a sense that institutions can be doing a lot more to support their researchers.
Well, let's go to some of the results of the survey. I mean, one of the big takeaways was that the people who are running labs and the people who are, in some cases, the most junior researchers in the lab, the graduate students and postdoctoral researchers and that sort, I mean, they seem to be living in different realities. And in some ways, I guess that's not surprising. They're in very different places in their careers, potentially different ages. But I'm talking about with regard to how the science gets done and how they perceive how the lab is running. Give us a sense from the perspective of those lab leaders. What do they think is going on in their labs?
Yeah, this was one of the most consistent findings in the survey, was that lab leaders saw things as much rosier than their postdocs and graduate students and other lab members. If we asked, how often do you, lab head, check raw data, they were much more likely to say that they were consistently checking raw data than were the postdocs and the graduate students. If we asked, can you summarize what every member of your lab is working on? They were much more likely to say that they could do that than were the actual members.
And looking at the numbers that you saw and the perspectives of the graduate students and the postdocs, in a lot of cases, the people who are doing the hands-on research and the fact that they're saying, yeah, well, my lab leader could do more in the way of checking the raw data. My lab leader could do more in the way of vetting our experiments. How concerned does that make you about the quality of the science that comes out?
It doesn't really change my view. It does indicate that lab members are open to having more checking in and more oversight from their lab heads. I mean, one thing that you hear again and again is that lab heads are worried that people are going to be offended if they look in someone's lab notebook, because that's going to be seen as somehow critical or doubting of their work. And I think the survey is showing that having a lab head check in on raw data, having a lab head check in on experimental design, is actually not seen as something that's hostile. It's seen as something that would help people do better work. Another piece in this same issue is from a postdoc who describes a meeting that happened way back in her early graduate career that has stayed with her for years and years. It's a meeting that wasn't about science at all. It was about two lab heads who had decided to join labs and decided that they had different working styles, and so they should have a meeting to set expectations. How do you keep a lab notebook? How do you decide when you've done enough work to submit something for a publication? And it's one of those conversations that is incredibly helpful. It's something that she said had guided her and helped her guide her own career, but doesn't happen very often. People get so into doing the work that they don't talk about what it takes to do good work. And I think people can be prompted to have those discussions, and that would be really useful.
I'm talking with Nature senior editor Monya Baker about a new survey of workplace health in academic science. You've already mentioned a couple of things that came up in the survey that could potentially be improved, this kind of checking in more, setting expectations, having some of these more explicit conversations about how the lab should run. Another thing that came up from across the spectrum, whether it was lab leaders or junior researchers, was the idea that lab leaders need more training in actually being managers and mentors. I mean, they're trained as scientists in graduate school, and then somewhere along the road are expected to manage, you know, maybe a dozen or two dozen people. Do you know of examples where institutions are taking this kind of step and doing more to train their lab leaders and how that's working out?
The lab training programs that I'm most familiar with are actually offered by scientific societies or outside groups, and they're often oversubscribed and in demand, which is really interesting because a lot of institutional leaders have a sense that academics resist training and that they don't like being told what to do. And we're finding that lab heads are actually pretty hungry for it. As you noted, the majority, about two-thirds of lab heads, said that they hadn't gotten any training in running a lab or in managing people. And if you look at the 30% of people who had received training, 5 to 1 said that it actually was useful. Remember that the quality of the training is important. I mean, I think everybody's had to sit through bland PowerPoint presentations that don't change behavior. But I think there is good quality training out there, and I think lab heads are ready for it if it's offered to them.
You mentioned already the issue of sexual harassment in the sciences, and the numbers there are not good. Something like 40% of female graduate students say they've experienced sexual harassment or abuse in graduate school. Did that come up in this survey as a specific kind of training need or area for improvement?
What we saw was that people actually felt more confident reporting sexual harassment and bullying than more research integrity issues. But I think that these things come together. I think if you make a more supportive working environment such that people are protected from harassment, you are also creating a supportive working environment where people can do more rigorous research, where they may not feel as much pressure to cut corners or to throw out an outlying data point.
You've said a couple of times now that this survey points to things that institutions can do without action from either the funders of science or the publishers of science, kind of the institutions that sit around the actual academic research labs. That kind of implies that maybe we're not seeing action for broader systemic changes in science. Do you think this survey suggests that those broader changes are not needed? Does this let perhaps journals, and we should say, of course, you work for one of the most prominent journals there is in the science community, but does this let journals and funders off the hook and say, hey, this is something institutions can deal with on their own, or is this just one piece of the puzzle?
I think it's just one piece of the puzzle. I mean, this isn't part of something that I personally have been involved with, but Nature's instituted a checklist to prompt researchers to include more detail about how experiments were done and how analyses were done. But that comes at the end of the process. And I think that the most powerful time to be involved is while work is being done. I mean, funders have also taken initiatives like being really explicit about lab heads' responsibilities to training individuals, which can fall by the wayside, but it is something that people pay attention to. Funders have also expanded requirements for reporting when there are serious findings of sexual harassment for fundees. And I think that those are things that funders are doing to get institutions to make changes. But I do think that institutions have a lot of influence that they haven't exercised and perhaps haven't even recognized, because a lot of times a lab head is sort of seen as the unit of science, and people, I think a lot of lab members think of themselves as belonging more to the lab group than to the institution. And I think if that changed, I think that you would see both stronger science and a more supportive environment.
Monya Baker is a senior editor at the journal Nature. That journal has released the results of a major survey about workplace health in the sciences. Monya, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, a new project wants to shine a light on the songs that female birds sing, and they want your help. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.